This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com.
This is the greatest shit I'd ever seen ever. Look at the shit that Johnny took. It's all shitty-like and it's been mounded like a shit. Oh, congratulations, John. You know, when I was a kid, like when Muhammad Ali said, "I'm the greatest of all time," that sounded like the most fucked up thing anyone had ever said out loud. You couldn't believe someone would say that. Now, you know, you go on MySpace, every fucking zit-faced 20-year-old is taking self-portraits. Look, I'm the hottest motherfucker ever. Look at me. Everyone's all proud and confident. Everyone thinks they got something to say. You watch the news, the local news. All they do on the news is talk to people. When there's a story, they just talk to people on the street and get their opinion. And everyone, instead of not wanting to be on TV, is like desperate to get their opinion out there. There was this girl in Jersey who threw a baby off a bridge because she had a date and she couldn't find someone to take care of it. Yeah, so instead of she just tossed the baby off the bridge. And that was on the news, which, first of all, how is that a giant news story? I mean, it's a sad story, but it's not news. It's just good ratings, I guess, because you like hearing shit like that, really, because it makes you feel a little bit like a better parent. Yeah, you could say not, but you do feel a little better. Like, all right, I miss a child support payment every once in a while, but I never tossed a kid off the fucking bridge. That's basically, you know, I'm father of the year, really, at this point. Because it's not really a news story. It's an individual situation, which is sad. And so she throws her baby off the bridge, and all they did was talk to people on the street and ask them what they thought of that, what their reaction to the story was. That's all they do. First of all, what kind of reaction could you have to that? They talked to one of her neighbors. I swear to God, the girl actually said, "Oh, she shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't throw your baby in a river. She should have got in like a babysitter or something." Thank God they had this ethics expert on hand to crack that moral dilemma. I thought tossing a kid in the river was really the only way you can go with it, but there were other options, I guess.
And that was Greg Giraldo. It's pretty funny. You seem to enjoy it. But heading out now. Probably play one song, set up the show for the Rev, and we'll be on our way. But unless... Tina, do you have anything you'd like to play specifically?
Yeah, what happened to my iPod?
It's on the other side of...
the beer.
The Kool-Aid.
Okay, of our beverages.
The Gatorade.
I'll play a song. Does it have to be a quick song, or can it be a...
Doesn't matter. We can always cut it out at any point. So,
okay. Then I want to play... the something from, it's a song I haven't heard in a while, so I'm going to play it because I can. It's from Alice in Chains Unplugged, Back in the Day.
Back in the Day.
What year was it, like 90?
95 or 96. It was their last album, technically. I don't know. I think Alice in Chains came out before the Unplugged. Yeah, because the songs like Sludge Factory and things were on.
Everybody dies after they did MTV Unplugged.
Yeah, but Link Daly was delayed like 6 years, so.
Well, yeah, he wasn't like immediately afterwards. But this is from Unplugged. This is Over Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. This is Reverend Buckburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and we'll be starting any second. Let's see. We'll test these microphones. This big penile thing is working. The weapon of ass destruction is working. And this big John Holmes microphone is working. So we are officially ready. Tell me when. Okay. When. Good evening. This is Reverend Buckburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight, we have a very special show. We are doing the Ron and Rand Paul Clown Show. Just in case our world has two or three people remaining who may be naive enough to think that either of these fuckheads from the Paul family represent anything other than the ugliest of corporate interests and corporate destruction, corporate deregulation, and corporate liberty. We're libertarians for the corporation because they shouldn't be held back. They should be allowed to further decimate our earth, our environment, our economy, and everything else, say Rand Paul and his equally fuckheaded father. So we're going to have a lot of fun with them. I'm sure all the book burners know this shit. So we're mostly going to have a good time with this theme and some good laughs. And of course, a lot of fitting music. And speaking of that, there is, yes, a brand new release from DOA. Sudden Death Records. SuddenDeath.com that has just come out, entitled Talk minus Action equals Zero. And this song is fitting with the theme, most certainly. And the Paul clowns and corporate stooges. This is entitled Don't Bank on a Bank. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist and celebrating and having a lot of laughs over the Ron and Rand Paul clown show. And we are going to play a very beautiful track from the Liberation Benefit CD that benefits PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And this is a track by Goldfinger. It's a very beautiful song entitled Fuck Ted Nugent.
Smoking crack. She's a bitch. Fuck her.
You heard Jello Biafra with the Guantanamo School of Medicine doing New Feudalism. Before that, Goldfinger did Fuck Ted Nugent. The Proletariat did Religion is the Opiate of the Masses, the Opium of the Masses. Before Religion is the Opium of the Masses, you heard Leonard Cohen doing Democracy. The Buzzcocks did What Do I Get? Deborah and Keith from the band Davy did the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend is In promo. And started off with DOA doing Don't Bank on a Bank and The Times, They Are a Changin'. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. It's on live most Sunday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern Time at voltaradio.com. Details, updates, every playlist, and all kinds of links and goodies at reverendbookburn.com, updated today on YouTube, youtube.com/revbookburn, on MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn, on Facebook, The Rev, since they don't allow Rev to be a first name, The Rev Bookburn, and on the info tab, link to the fan site, email revbookburn@sjcdc.org. We are off next Sunday night on June 20th and returning in 2 weeks on June 27th. The show theme will be In Defense of Paul McCartney. And we talked about this on the last show. When Paul was at the White House and receiving honors from music people and Barack Obama and whoever else, he made a joke. It was more like an understatement, but he made a joke about Bush not knowing what a library is. And all these retards and idiots and assholes, like, started screaming and having hissy fits, and, including obstructionist extraordinaire Congressman John Boehner, who demanded an apology. I'm not making that shit up. And creating a kind of a overreaction on behalf of the Bush lovers and all those kinds of idiots. So we're going to respond to that in full, not just like a part of a show. And it's going to be a killer show, In Defense of Paul McCartney. And that's on June 27th, 2 weeks from tonight. Let's see. Do we have birthdays? We have birth and death, as usual. And one injury. And need for healing. Let's see. First, the birthday. In about a week, it's either next Sunday or the 21st. Now I forget. But it's the birthday of Bill Baird, which, if you don't know by now, you probably haven't been listening to the show very long. We always celebrate the anniversaries of all of his victories, but he is the man who in 1972 fought a case to the Supreme Court which resulted in birth control being legal for non-married adults and set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade less than a year later, legalizing abortion. And he has fought for reproductive freedom, sexual freedom, the rights of alternative lifestyles, gays, legalization of marijuana, and other freedom and privacy issues to this day. And he is at prochoiceleague.org. And there's a mailing address, and it would be good if he heard from some book burners. And just so as you know, they're in a funny financial situation. So if you do have a few bucks, it would be great to send it to them. Happy birthday to Bill Baird. Who died? Yeah, we agree. This is significant. A woman who starred on, in a lot of things, but most notably and probably best known as one of the stars of the Golden Girls, Rue McClanahan, passed away since the last show. And in addition to being a great actress and a great person, the things that stood out for me was her animal rights activism, which I thought was very cool of her. And then around 1990, at the height of the everything's obscene and ban everything, ban music lyrics, ban movies, books, videos, our Christian holy mullahs don't like, and an ever-growing list of that kind of shit. Which crazy mullah was it? Reverend Donald Wildman, thank you. These guys are actually able to keep their eyes open and function and help keep the show together. Reverend Donald Wildman of the American Family Association and laughable subject of the great film Damned in the USA decided that the Golden Girls, starring Rue McClanahan and Bea Arthur and fellow cast members, the Golden Girls was, what do you think the word he used was? No, not obscene. No, not risque. No, not even offensive. The word he used, I'm not making this shit up, the word he used is pornography. Now, this is when every kind of kook and idiot in the nation was saying, pornography causes meltdowns and earthquakes and trafficking and mudslides and tornadoes and all that kind of shit. And then Reverend Donald Wildman has to be just a tiny bit more whacked than the rest of the anti-porn hysteria wave from the left and the right, actually. And he decided that the Golden Girls was pornography. So anyway, but Rue McClanahan was great, talented, great person, and she passed away, and we honor her. And then friend and book burner Rose C. was in a car accident and survived, but is in need of healing, and we are sending healing vibes, and we're asking Brian, the deity that we acknowledge from Monty Python's Life of Brian, and just to be on the safe side, we're also asking Santa Claus, please send healing in her direction. And a lot of people, including us, want to help and do what we can in the recovery process. So let's see you out of traction and back in action. All right. Anything else? No. All right. Let's see. A lot of news and a lot of shit to cover. First, I'm going to deal with the subject. And then if we have time, some movie mentions and plugs. And what else? Okay. Oh, first jokes. Because they're pretty offensive, and a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't repeat that. It's bad, or it's offensive, or I can't say that at work, whatever. But then everyone does. Like, people crack up. So I thought, well, if the book burners hadn't heard these jokes, and even with their little taboo elements to them, they will probably appreciate it to some extent and most likely will repeat them. And they're pretty fucking sick. The first is, what is the difference between Sarah Palin's vagina and her mouth? Only one retarded thing came out of her vagina. My handwriting absolutely bites. And it's small, and it's not well lit tonight. But I will endure. What's the difference between acne and a priest? Acne usually comes on a boy's face after he's 12. How do you know a priest moved into your neighborhood? He's required to inform you by law. All right. Moving right ahead. No, not movies. Let's just go right to the subject. Tonight, the theme is the Ron and Rand Paul Clown Show. And we decided to call them clowns instead of evil or, you know, word like that. Partially because even though they have fooled and duped a lot of people, I think many people in the last month have had their eyes open and realized it's not just little Rand who is a complete fucknut. It is also the father, Ron Paul. And yes, it is embarrassing to be a part of the legalized marijuana movement after so many organizations and publications bought the Ron Paul bullshit. Oh, but he's a libertarian. And he said he wants marijuana legalized. And especially Cannabis Culture magazine. And bought all that shit. The word libertarian is deceptive advertising. It's like the Al-Qaeda clones in the anti-abortion terrorist movement using words like, we're pro-life. It's doublespeak. Libertarian, when used by these kinds of assholes, means liberty for the uber capitalists, the ones that want to rip off virtually the entire nation, shift even more of the infrastructure and livelihoods of virtually the entire middle class and lower classes, and shift more of that up to them, rip people off, ravage and fuck the economy and the environment and the future. You should leave the free market capitalists alone. And of course, as ugly as that is, Rand Paul, in a an odd moment of truth for the Paw family. Just days after he was elected as a nominated as a primary candidate in Kentucky, need I say more, when he said businesses should not be told what to do regarding bigotry, regarding race, regarding discrimination of any and every kind. And we should not have passed or imposed on them the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, pretty much everybody who isn't an all-out asshole and an all-out racist, and even some moderately conservative people, do not oppose the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Like, that's a special breed of asshole and bigot. And it can be masked as, oh, but I'm only saying that because I'm pro-business. But he goes on. He opposes the ADA, which, of course, is total red flag. And if he didn't have asshole tattooed across his forehead already, he most assuredly did when he opposed the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 that was even signed by King Asswipe himself, George Bush Sr., then president, and saying that the Americans with Disabilities Act also imposes on the sacred businesses of corporate America. And just in case there was still a little teeny tiny bit of doubt after that, he becomes a defender of, shout it, you're nowhere near a microphone, these Cheech and Chong clones over here. Right. BP. What's a little ecological crisis off our shoreline? You want to impose regulation on business? Yes, he's a defender of those incredibly fucked up executives of BP and Cheney's Halliburton, and of course a defender of the Bush people who furthered deregulation to an extreme and approved BP's wish list. That is what libertarian means with the Paul clowns. And it's funny because some of their dupes who are always in comments and blog lands on the internet have a new cause, and I'm not making this up. I think they're even more idiotic and fucked up than you could be if you were trying to be funny and trying to invent an odd collection of humans. They're beyond the humor of The Onion or The Daily Show or The Colbert Report. It is also true, beyond humor and satire, it is true. They now think we shouldn't be paying taxes for mandatory trash removal. So, yes, yeah, some dickhead in the comments section of your local paper, as well as the national news services, are going to start echoing these words and saying, why am I paying taxes so that they can pick up trash and remove trash from other people's houses? And you are going to read that. You heard that here first. Never a word with these teabaggers and libertarians, as they're called, and Paul types about the absolutely insanely bloated, overkill, extreme, economy-busting spending levels of the military budget. And as much as I would cut, and I would cut a lot, I would cut a quarter of it, but that's an idea that would never sell, especially with the brothel workers from the both major corporate parties. But even if you didn't go that far, if you cut between 1 and 2% of an extreme overkill budget, it's not defense. Okay, the biggest, baddest dude on the block is not spending $1 trillion on defense. It's about contracts, and it's about the whole gravy train continuing. If you cut 1 to 2%, the economy of the nation would improve drastically overnight. Substantial economic recovery with just a moderate cutting of the military budget. Ditto the prison industrial complex. So when we legalize weed, and we should, and we better, instead of wasting gazillions of dollars on a stupid war against weed, on an unjust war against weed, on a total failure of a war against weed, and free the weed prisoners, not just our friend Mr. Z, who is close to released, but all of them, our nation, especially California, would see a phenomenal boost in economic recovery. It would be the biggest boost since the economic surplus that Bush the second inherited before he blew that to shit. Ditto corporate welfare and corporate bailouts and corporate grants and the tax slashing of the rich, which is all over the nation, but especially in New Jersey, where a Caligula wannabe named Chris Christie is ravishing everything, especially schools, but really every kind of service and survival program. But when bills arrived, proposed legislation for what was called the millionaire's tax, yes, the Caligula wannabe vetoed both of them. So ending corporate welfare, not welfare for people who are middle class or down, but corporate welfare and grants, and reestablishing taxes for the rich after all the slashing that Reagan and W. Bush did, we will see economic improvement. But that is not good enough, and those are unacceptable ideas to the Pauls and the teabaggers, and that is one of the primary factors, besides being bigots and ignoramuses and people who said the free market will deal with health care and global warming, etc., and misusing the words libertarians. These people are fucking clowns, but they're also funny. You cannot sell ideas that are as absurd as the ideas that, say, who are the dumbest fucks who publicly speak? Okay, Sarah Palin. Like Palin ideas, like free market solutions and common sense free market solutions, etc., without saying things that are also funny. And so when we come back, we will concentrate on the funny part of it. Funny stuff from other people, including Katy Perry, and a whole lot more, whatever is legible on these pieces of paper. If it's coming through Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine CD, The Audacity of Hype, in the background, let's play a song for the weed prisoners, including Mr. Z. This track is from the bonus CD that comes with the DVD version of the documentary about Amsterdam entitled Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, which is highly recommended. This track is by Rising Lion. It's a cover from the song that's on Easy Rider entitled Don't Bogart Me.
down. Down.
Give it to me now, give it to me now. Yeah. Remix, yeah. Remix, yeah. Remix.
Yeah. Give it to me now, give it to me now, give it to me now.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta lick, know what's your fantasy to say.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move.
Bitch, get right on the X. Get it right on X. Fuck them, check right to the neck. Bitch, go right, Fox, right to the left. They can't fuck, burning his chest. 36 D's, proud on the breast. Fat, send him home, not on his breath. Fuck, how you think a bitch got my rep? 3 mil, still BK to the depth. Still don't give a fuck, still pose naked. Still specializing, slip niggas' faces. Pop magnums by the cases, X5. Bitch, still spend big faces. Big crown, brown, whole first places. You know what you can do, nigga? You can lick, then lick me from my ass to my clit. And rub a dub up on my tits. Put a nut on your lip.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta lick, know what's your fantasy to say.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good I don't wanna leave.
Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta dip, know what's your favorite.
interesting. You would think from reading the little, well, sorry, we can't afford this. Sorry, we can afford child care. We can't afford to give school lunches to kids. We can't afford to give $500 a month to a mother taking care of two kids. We don't have the money for the arts. We have to cut money for music. We just don't have it. This country with this enormous gross national product, truly gross national product, you see, wealth, which is concentrated in the small portion of the population, which is wasted on the military budget, which goes for all sorts of purposes other than human purposes. And there's a basis there in those facts and the existence, I believe, in most American people, not all American people, but most large numbers of American people, of the sense of what is just and what is right. And I believe that's the basis for people beginning to move, people beginning to act, people to get together with other people, not to allow those people who are trying to convince us that they have it all their way. Why? Because they were elected by some small part of the population who voted unenthusiastically for them because they had nobody else to vote for. People begin to act, people begin to move, people begin to organize in the smallest of ways with the smallest of groups. Well, that's how social movements develop. That's how social movements have developed historically. And if everybody understands that the smallest action, it may not have any effect, but it might join to millions of other small actions, and at a certain point in history might bring about the kind of changes we want, change policy, might actually boldly change policy and do something about the horrors of racism and the unequal treatment of sexes and the unequal treatment of gay people and the unequal treatment of children. Do something about all those things. Because we certainly... we're approaching a new century. We don't want to go into this new century repeating the history of the old century. And I think it's possible not to repeat that and to do something new and startling. And not only that, whatever you accomplish, whatever is accomplished, and you never know what you will accomplish, and anybody would be rash, and I would be rash to predict, oh yes, it's certain, great things will happen. Except that I know that if you don't do anything, I know great things won't happen. If you act, great things might happen. But whether they do or not, in the process, in the course of it, by your action, by not simply living the life of a professional, but having another life, it will be more interesting and more fun and more rewarding. And as I say, whatever is accomplished, you will feel that you have participated in something worthwhile all the time. That's worth doing. Thank you for coming. Yes. Well, you represent a very strong point of view, which I hear from half of the people who talk to me about my book. That is, half of the people who talk to me about the people's history say, I feel depressed. And the other half say, well, I'm glad you told me about all the people who have fought back, about the movements and the struggles and people we never heard of, maybe it's not 50-50. I would like to think it's 50-50. Maybe it's 70-30. And and I'm fooling myself about what I did. It's a tough balance to strike, that is, to be truthful about the terrible things that have happened and the number of times that strikers have been mowed down by the police and that strikes have been lost, to strike a balance between that and the magnificent resistance of people and people coming back and back and back. The IWW was destroyed by the government in the course of World War I, and their leaders were put on trial, and they were given long sentences, and they took this magnificent organization and just eliminated it. And yet in its time, in its short life, it did remarkable and inspiring things. It fought for people's rights. It organized workers. It won the textile strike in Lowell in 1912 against the power of the textile companies. It defended the rights of free speech of IWW of speakers, labor organizers who went around in towns and were arrested. And then IWW people would gather from other states and they would come into those towns and they would speak and they would get arrested. And they would do it again and again and again until the jails were full and overbursting. And until they had to be released from jail. But there's both things are true. That is, that we can read American history in such a way as to depress us and this is the complaint very often of very, it's not the complaint of my friends and not your complaint, but very often the complaint of traditionalists who say, you know, you're telling bad things about the United States. And, you know, why don't you tell the good things? But I think it's a real challenge to be honest about the power of the establishment, but at the same time to tell those stories which have been left out of the history books. Now, you take something, and then history, and how you look at an event can be looked upon in those two different ways. If you read the history of the civil rights movement, and you come to that part of the civil rights movement in which a part that's not as well known, let's say, as Selma, Alabama, or the Montgomery bus boycott, or the big marches in Birmingham. You come to the movement in Albany, Georgia, in 1961-62, a small town, almost a town that seemed like it was still in slavery, in cotton and peanut country in southwest Georgia. But in 1961, the black population of Albany, Georgia, rose up as it hadn't done. And in anybody's memory, it rose up and rebelled against racial segregation in the city of Albany. And before you knew it, 700 people were in jail. 1,000 people were in jail. A good part of the black population of Albany, Georgia. But they came out of jail and they went back in the demonstrations and the picket lines and the sit-ins. And they were beaten. And a woman who was in jail and pregnant and beaten, lost her child, and all sorts of things happen in Albany. And the history of that very often is written as the history is of one of the defeats of the civil rights movement, because when that movement stopped in Albany, Georgia, it seemed that nothing had changed. There's nothing, they couldn't point to anything specific that had been accomplished, and yet all these people had gone to jail and a number of people had been hurt badly. I never read it that way. And some of the people who participated in that movement didn't read it that way. And a black man named Charles Sherrod, who went down to Albany at that time, who worked with SNCC and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and who after everybody left, well, that is after people who had gone down there to participate in the movement had left, he stayed and has stayed there all through these years. And he writes about that time, and he says, "I don't know why you call Albany, Georgia, defeat. Because after Albany, defeat or not, people were never the same. Black people were never the same. White people were never the same." And he pointed to all the ways in which Albany, Georgia was different. And Well, you know how it is. You can look at the you can look at the situation of racism in the United States today, and you can be in despair, and the people say, oh, the situation is worse than it ever was, things have gone backward, or the women's movement and sexual equality and things. It's possible. There's enough evidence. This is a great thing about history, right? There's always enough evidence on all sides to paint whatever picture you want, you see. And then you can paint a picture which puts people in despair, or you can, without inventing anything, you can find those episodes and then those moments in history which suggest to you that something else is possible, even if that something else has not yet taken place on a big enough scale. You know, I think of Albany, Georgia. When I think of Albany, Georgia, I think of these hundreds and hundreds of black people lined up in front of the desk of the chief of police of Albany, Georgia, to be booked. You know, their names, addresses, and at one point the chief looks over the top of his desk and there's somebody there and he can just barely see the top of his head, and it was a 9-year-old kid being arrested. And the chief said, "Boy, what's your name?" And the little boy replied, "Freedom, freedom." Those are the kinds of things that happen 1,000 times in different ways in every social movement in this country, that the spirit that people have and which, no matter what they do, cannot really be extinguished. So I think it's possible to teach kids about people like that. I think it's possible to teach kids about other kids. I think it's possible to teach them about the kids who in the early part, 1903, traveled to Washington, D.C. Kids who worked in the mines were gathered up and organized by Mother Jones, who took them to Washington, D.C. to ask Congress to do something about child labor in the mines and elsewhere. And the kids marched around in front of the White House. Theodore Roosevelt was president. Sorry to mention his name. But the kids marched around carrying signs saying, "We want time to play." I think there are lots of really wonderful and inspiring stories to tell kids about people who have fought back against terrible things in this country. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Greed. And when I'm not busy cutting services and fucking over patients with Medicaid, I like to pay tribute to the libertarian laissez-faire capitalists who share my views about unbridled greed and endless profit at the expense and destruction of the underclass. And now that there is a reaction, thanks to Rand Paul's less than brilliant comments, it is a sad day because so many of us are now exposed. This song goes out to my peers in corporate America, my friends in BP and Enron and other and Wall Street people. It's called 96 Tears.
Carry on. You're way out of top now. if you can call it that, physically assault anyone dumb enough to listen.
You heard the Casualties doing Divide and Conquer. The Stranglers did 96 Tears. Jello Biafra and Mojo Nixon did Will the Fetus Be Aborted from their Prairie Home Invasion CD. Harold Zinn did How Social Change Happens and Why Solidarity Matters from his spoken word CD, A People's History of the United States. Before Howard Zinn, you heard Ludacris with Trina, Shauna, and Foxy Brown doing What's Your Fantasy? And started off with Rising Lion doing Don't Bogart Me. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is The Ron and Rand Paul Clown Show. And we played an abortion-related song because it is also relevant to tonight's theme, which is about these so-called libertarian clowns. And as we covered, libertarian meaning liberty for the corporate fucks who already run the nation and seeks even more deregulation to further fuck the economy and the environment and social justice and everything else. However, the word liberty gets lost in countless ways, including the matters of reproductive choice. Yes, the so-called libertarian Pauls are anti-choice. So in addition to fucking over safety net and survival programs and public services and all the other help that anti-choice fake clinics say is out there for you, they would eliminate those programs and then eliminate reproductive choice, meaning birth control and abortion. There are myths being perpetrated pretty much daily in comments sections and in blogs by TFMs. If you don't know what TFM is, it stands for Total Fucking Morons. And the TFMs have a habit of repeating things that are already debunked, like you can't tax the rich and you can't tax big businesses or you'll drive them away and you won't make more jobs. It's hard to believe anybody is stupid enough to believe that or to even repeat it, but just in case you are in a war of words against one of these TFMs, that myth has been shattered, especially during the Bush era, where corporations were not only receiving countless dollars in corporate welfare, but rewarded for bringing their bonus money and their corporate welfare and taking it out of the nation safely overseas and moving jobs overseas so that they can exploit people even better using sweatshop labor, Walmart being one of the worst for that, and Apple, yes. Thank you, John Necraptis, and I'm glad you're alive. And, yes, and countless. It's countless companies using sweatshop labor for
super cheap, unlivable wages and rewarding that and eliminate the elimination of jobs. So the argument taxing business and taxing the rich will hurt the American worker is a load of shit. What they do is they go overseas when they are doing better and take their money and the jobs, and they are rewarded for doing this and move them out of the country. Another thing TFM, total fucking morons, say is you can't have health care without tort reform. It takes a special fuckhead to even remotely be a spokesmodel for tort reform, limiting the amount of damages people can pursue if they are wronged by the medical industry or anybody. And instead of leaving it to a judge's discretion, people who could be fucked by product safety deregulation or anything else, or oil company spills and fuck-ups and other benefits of all that wonderful corporate deregulation they also pushed for, tort reform prevents justice and prevents survival in many cases, especially if people are fucked up for life and all they can get is like a cap settlement of a very small pittance of what they could have and should have received. So when the TFMs talk about don't drive away business or tort reform, they need to be responded to, and somebody needs to write in response and set their asses straight. It's incredible that these people are spokesmodels for Freedom Works and all these other right-wing think tanks, if you want to even use the word think, and entities that spawns all these, you know, teabagger idiot groups, because they're not even working in their own interests. They are the groupies and the wannabes of the wealthy. And you can expect these Paul family stooges or Palin stooges that if a law was proposed that required the teabaggers to have the word fuckhead tattooed on their face, and that law was proposed by these far-right candidates, you know, or these new teabagger candidates that are increasingly nuts, these total fucking morons would fiercely defend such proposed legislation. And then you would see them walking around with fuckhead tattooed on their foreheads. All right, let's see. How much time do we have? All right, in other news, I don't know what's up with him, but at the fourth wedding of family values blowhard and total fucking liar and bigot and hysteria monger, Rush Limbaugh, the limp dick who needs massive amounts of Viagra before his third world vacations into countries that are astronomically high in sex tourism. When the limpster got married for the fourth time recently, Elton John agreed to sing at the wedding, reportedly for $1 million. But even then, it's like, what was he thinking going to Rush Limbaugh's house? But then I thought, a bigger question is, why did the Limpster want Elton John, who is openly gay, to sing at his wedding? And then I remembered, what do homophobes and public posturers of moral crusading and abstinence-only education and family values and censorship and taking away the sexual rights of virtually every adult except them, and the C Street cult in D.C., and the Christian supremacists, and the We Hate Sex crowd, what do they all have in common? They're fucking liars and cheaters. They are closet swingers. They are closet queens. They are closet gays. They are closet open marriages. They are closet, well, they're not closet, cheaters. They're not open and upfront about who and what they are. They are cheaters. And in the case of Senator David Vitter, who not merely a customer at the late D.C. Madam's establishment, but also a diaper fetishist. They love their scandals. They love to cheat. They love to declare their mistresses to be their soulmates, like ex-South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. And if there is a little bit of temptation for a scandal, they'll do it. Right, George Wreckers, or however you say that fucking name? So maybe Rush Limpy had in mind making his own scandal with Elton John. And who better? I mean, you know, Elton's, you know, friendly, calm, soft-spoken, you know, friendly guy with that British accent. And he probably thought, well, Elton would be safe for experimentation and taking a walk on the other side, etc. So, Elton, I hope you had a good time playing at the Rush Limbaugh wedding number 4. How's that for family values? And from an advocate of repressive laws. And if you made a scandal about it, I hope you will reveal that to the world so that the Limpster is embarrassed yet again, first for his Viagra in a third world sex tourism country, then for his drug scandal with the OxyContin addiction, and now whatever may have happened with you. And speaking of total fucking nuts, we move from Rush Limbaugh to Katy Perry, another brainster. Katy Perry is a celebrity. I'm not even sure why or what she does, but she's also a total retard. And she, like many American Christian Taliban groups, are freaking out about the new Lady Gaga video, because similar to some of the Madonna videos, like Just a Prayer, and I forget the names of them now, but she revived that kind of a theme. You know, she sucks rosary beads. You know, she has a cross over the vagina, and she has a lot of scantily clad men, and plus the religious imagery, and it's actually pretty good. You know, her music isn't my kind of music, but it was a pretty entertaining video. I think it was more entertaining because so many idiots were jumping up and down about this, and Tequila is putting out messages like, it's a sign of the devil and the Illuminati, and the eyes wide open cult and all this kind of shit. So I thought, well, like, these people have really lost their fucking minds. And they're pushed even more over the edge by this new Lady Gaga video. So it's worth it. We linked it at reverendbookburn.com. So just knowing that crazy people have become even crazier, and including the far-right religious nuts, makes it that much more enjoyable. I talked out. My voice is shot to shit. The casualties in the background, if it's on loud enough to be in the background. We're going to go back to the music. Let's play a track from the compilation. I think it's a benefit too, but it's a compilation about 20 or 25 artists entitled Anti-Capitalism. This is Living Legends doing Island Wars.
Oh,
Okay, we have a very special dedication. This goes out to the racist scumbags of the Arizona legislature before we send their sorry asses back to Europe, since they are the descendants of the illegals from Europe. This is by Heart Attack, entitled Wheels Over Indian Trails.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message. It wasn't easy being a corporate hoe for all of those years after my election coup and election fraud that brought me into power. But I did my best to serve corporate interests, and I'm really happy that tonight our efforts are being acknowledged. We will be rich for life. After all that we did for the insurance companies and going to war to defend their drive for even greater profits. And it's just something that brings a warm feeling to my heart. And I want to thank the Paul's father and son, Dickless Cheney, and his Halliburton Corporation, and all the great people who gave us so many perks, from Enron to the United. Thank you very much, and God bless corporate America.
Yeah. Hi, y'all. This is Dr. Laura Hall, and I want to talk about our sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own tea bagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our tea bags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting tea bagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail tea bagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And tea bag a liberal Dem before they tea bag you. Bye-bye.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up. Sunday, June 13th, 2010, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. Our runner-up, who was mentioned earlier in the show, is celebrity Katy Perry. Katy Perry is not simply just another stupid person who was upset and even frightened by the new Lady Gaga video entitled Alejandro, but chooses to go online to blast it as blasphemous, sounding much like the Christian mullahs that call on censorship and blast videos and song lyrics, and of course leading to censorship. And while Perry stopped short of that, she did fuel the hysteria by denouncing the video as blasphemous and inappropriate. Katy Perry, you are the runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that there is a very special recipient who is even more deserving than the runner-up. Someone who stands out far greater. And it's not Ron Paul or Rand Paul, because both have received the awards in the past, and so did Boner, the congressman who wants Paul McCartney to apologize. So we have to have somebody who didn't get it, but is also absolutely deserving, an absolutely worthy recipient. Tonight, very special recipient is... Where's the fart sounds? We need the fart sounds for Asshole of the Week. First, Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
That's better. Thank you. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is Lyor, if that's how you pronounce it, L-Y-O-R, how fitting, Lyor Cohen, Lyor Cohen is the CEO of Warner Music Group, who... There are so many reasons and fucked up things about this guy to make him deserve it. Let's cover the ones that are at least the basics. First, many frivolous judgments and takedown notices on YouTube as the owner of most musicians' music. And then getting desperate musicians to sign new contracts in which he gets a slice of the merchandise, concert revenue, and even sponsorship deals, control of musicians' websites, their content, and even their MySpace sites. And when you think this asshole has not gone far enough, he not only owns many bands and their rights and a piece of their merchandise, he owns, I guess, a copyright or a trademark of the I Have a Dream speech by Dr. Martin Luther King, and caused YouTube to disable the video. Interesting for a guy who made $500 million exploiting black music. So, Warner Music Group CEO, Lyor Cohen, you are Asshole of the Week. Kill the fart sounds, please. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Whore, the 2009 version. Capitalist Casualties did Jesus's Whore, My Dad Kills for the USA, and Bioplague. Heart Attack did Wheels Over Indian Trails. Dead Boys did Third Generation Nation. Trash did Party on Your Pussy. Before that, Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. And before that, War Called Peace did Yuppie Ghetto. And started off that set with Living Legends doing Island Wars. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight, the theme has been The Ron and Rand Paul Clown Show. And we cut out a lot of shit, predictably. There's only like 20,000 notes on all these scribble papers. We didn't talk about movies, which I'm not going to do at length, but just to plug some. Coming up and relevant to the subject of these free market freakazoid libertarian laissez-faire capitalists and corporate hoes, and no disrespect intended to real hoes. Coming up is Wall Street 2, and that's a must-see, I can tell you already, made by Oliver Stone, and with Michael Douglas again as Gordon Gekko. Michael Moore's most recent DVD, Capitalism, A Love Story. And in honor of the late Dennis Hopper, whose family is fucked up and fucking over his most recent wife and small daughter. Easy Rider. Plus, it's always fun to watch that. And for our corporate hoes and oil friends, the one Steven Seagal movie that was actually good and still lots of action, so you can watch it with any tard or family member or coworker or whoever, On Deadly Ground. And because not one but two of the local Ma and Pa video stores are succumbing to the recession and corporate ugly giants like Blockbuster, there's all these tapes and all these DVDs on sale like uber cheap, and as a result, seeing a good copy of a fantastic movie with Sean Connery and Lorraine Bracco, largely dealing with the rainforest and actually relevant to corporate greed, since that's what's destroying the rainforests. Medicine Man, and it's very highly recommended. Okay, Ron and Rand Paul, you are exposed racists. You are exposed stooges for corporate America and free market capitalism. In other words, the forces of destruction that fucked the economy thanks to Reagan and W. Bush's deregulation, brilliant ideas. You represent all that is ugly, all that is destructive. The word libertarian is deceptive because you're also anti-choice and anti-social services and anti-survival programs and safety net programs and public services. You are also exposed for making some of the most stupid Palin-esque public statements since Palin and Bachman and DeMint and Jindal and so many others. And you are a fucking joke. And since we are active in the legalized marijuana movement, we are embarrassed on behalf of the pro-hemp scene that some prominent activists and even publications, most notably Cannabis Culture, fell for the Ron Paul bullshit. But let us not fret, for we can take comfort in knowing that they're largely exposed now. Rand Paul did even more than these recent primary elections to expose the Tea Party fascists for what they truly are and alienate even more of the American people from them, and have turned themselves and their little movement of total fucking morons into a big joke. Thank you, Pastor Rex Cat, extraordinary engineer, archivist, co-producer, book burner, and friend, for recording these shows. And this is expected to be uploaded at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net, in like a couple of days or maybe a week. And thank you to other people who have contributed or just bounced ideas off. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Jennifer Hunter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And probably some people I'm forgetting. Happy birthday, Bill Baird. Peace and healing to Rose C. Our next show is in 2 weeks on June 27th. And the theme will be in defense of Paul McCartney. And you will see updates and some great links when we prepare for the Paul McCartney show at reverendbookburn.com. Write to me, revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Always check out reverendbookburn.com. on YouTube, youtube.com/RevBookburn, on MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn, on Facebook, it's retarded, but it's their rules. It has to be The Rev instead of Rev. The Rev Bookburn. On the info tab, the Rev Bookburn link to the fan site. We will be back in 2 weeks on June 27th with the In Defense of Paul McCartney show. We are going to play a closing tune and then get out of here. There's no numbers on this CD by Naked Aggression, but we're going to just play the number that we're pretty sure is the number that corresponds with this track. From their CD, The Gut-Ringing Machine, this is Naked Aggression doing BSFU. Good night.
lost our tents. Giraffes and nips all jumped the fence. Just step right up, ladies and gents. Are we not clowns?
We are bozo.
Are we not clowns?
Zio, zio.
We have red hair that stands up straight. There are red nose, looks so ornate. Are we not clowns?
We are bozo.
Are we not clowns?
Zio, zio.
Are we not wang?
We are dildos.
Funny men all in circus suits, acting like queers just for the loot. Are we not clowns?
We are bozo.
Are we not clowns?
Zio, zio.
Are we not wang?
We are dildos.
Are we not clowns?
We are fruiters. Wah!
sticker.